Jerry Bader Show 1019. Boy, what a perfect day for a poop storm on this show. Because I am weak of voice, and almost everyone else but myself has done the talking. Took a ton of calls in the last hour. Mike Ellis came in and breathed some fire. Brian Fraley came in and breathed some fire back at him. I do want to move on, kind of. It's funny that as we're debating whether or not Mike Ellis is the fly in the ointment here, he denies that in terms of the governor's tax cuts getting through the state Senate. He denied that. You heard him here. Brian Fraley stands by his sources that Mike Ellis is. There is a big Gannett piece. It's in, I think, every Gannett newspaper in Wisconsin today. Move to the middle. Elections have consequences. Deal with it. That's the phrase boasted by extremes of the political spectrum in Wisconsin in recent years and President Obama. And as cause for alarm, writes Nick Penzenstadler, outgoing moderate voices in Madison say, after this session, longtime legislators, Representative Gary Bives, Sister Bay, Tim Cullen, Senate Democrat Janesville, Senator Bob Jock, Democrat Poplar, Senator Dale Schultz, sort of, kind of, a Republican, but really a liberal, Richland Center, will retire. They'll take with them 94 years of old-school bridge-building political experience. Schultz and Cullen were unsparing in their opinions when speaking to Gannett, Wisconsin media about what they say is a broken legislature dominated by special interest money and unreflective of an independent-minded electorate. There's this attitude that legislators should only represent who voted for them, Schultz said. It breeds bitterness and misses the opportunity to come together. This place is so dysfunctional, dominated by big campaign contributions, Cullen said. There's a hunger in the state to act sensibly. Like Congress, where members of the two parties rarely agree on anything, Wisconsin's legislature is about as divided as it has ever been. That's the finding of Gannett, Wisconsin media statistical analysis of more than 1,500 votes in the legislature over the past 5 years using data from the Sunlight Foundation, so on, so on, so on. So, with Schultz, who voted with his Republican colleagues, more than 90% of his career has become a stunning pariah in the party based on only a few key votes, said Charles Franklin, a Marquette University law professor and pollster, but on big stuff, Kogebic Taconite, Act 10, and so on. It's an interesting example of how party unity versus central issues that leadership consider critical can overwhelm otherwise broad agreement, Franklin said. Even modest dissent within a unified party sticks out like a sore thumb. Now, listen to this. So who's the next sore thumb? It may be Mike Ellis, the Republican senator from Neenah with enough clout and moxie to buck any directive, said Jay Heck, executive director for Common Cause in Wisconsin, a nonpartisan group that lobbies for good government redistricting reform. Ellis has been that guy for years, especially on campaign finance reform, Heck said. He's drifted recently to the right, which I don't know that I agree with, but he basically can do anything he wants in this legislature. He could be the next major moderate voice. Mike, that's the perception people have of you. I'm just saying. This year, Ellis faces his first election challenge since 1998. It comes from Appleton Democratic Representative Penny Bernard Shaver. Let's see. Other Senate moderates that could fill the void, Luther Olson Rippon, Rob Coles, Green Bay, both known to show independent streaks. Mike Ellis, in a video on Gannett, Wisconsin media, said this. Compromise is the art of the possible. And the more we lose people that are willing to sit down around the table and accept a half a loaf of bread, which equals compromise, as we lose them, you can see what happens in Washington, D.C. Nothing gets done. The left wants this. The right wants this. There is nothing in the middle. Mike, can you see how that makes people suspicious here? Jason says, no, you're just making the whole thing up. Brian Fraley reported that. I'm just saying, Mike, that is the perception that there is of you. Now, Jason says you took that right out of your butt. Well, it's easy to do on the radio. No one can see what you're doing, you know? You just, yeah. No, that's good. And here's the other thing you need to understand. The Gannett media want Mike Ellis. And I got to tell you, it's weird. I really do sound like Mike with this sore throat. That's what they want. You don't think that's close? Well, I think he's got, yeah, kind of like this. Is that a little, yeah, but that's killing my throat. Yeah. Another issue. Now I really am moving on. I find this very interesting that it appears the issue that Mary Burke wants to go toe-to-toe with on Scott Walker is minimum wage. I knew they were going to go with this income inequality thing. Here's what's interesting, because her initial proposal was for a 35% increase on the current minimum wage. Now, she supports 1010 in Wisconsin. Walker and Burke sharpened their differences over min wage Wednesday, writes the Journal Sentinel, with Walker saying Burke was focused on the issue because she doesn't have a jobs plan. Burke shot back that the Republican governor was dodging the issue because of his opposition to raising the min wage. Burke, a former state commerce secretary and former Trek Bicycle Corp executive, who raised sales $80 gazillion, by the way. I'm making that up, but then again, it looks like she did too, so I have about as much evidence. $50 million is what she claims. Also called for automatic future increases in the min wage so that it would keep up with inflation. She did this in a conference call. She said raising it from 7.25 to 10.10 over 2 years would help workers as well as the state's economy. She is arguing that it would actually create jobs. In fact, it can improve overall job creation. No study suggests that. All of the studies out there are mixed on whether raising the minimum wage actually increases unemployment. And I will admit the data is mixed. I think for smaller businesses, it almost certainly costs jobs. It's insane to say that raising the minimum wage increases employment. I've never seen anybody argue that. Earlier in the day, Walker said the best way to improve the economy is by helping employers create jobs paying wages that far surpass the amounts that people are talking about in terms of a government mandate. That's what happens when you don't have a jobs plan, he said of Burke's ideas on the minimum wage. You pretend to have one by pointing to something like that. We have a jobs plan. We've been implementing it. We'll continue to implement it. Asked to respond to Walker's comments, Burke said it's what I would expect from a career politician, is to take the focus off what the actual issue is. No, he's not. What kind of nonsense is that? I've done my homework, and this is something that's good for the Wisconsin economy. Really? I would like to see your work. Before I give you a grade, I'm one of those teachers. I want to see your work. I want to see how you arrived at that. Now, here's another issue. As you know, there's been a lawsuit filed to challenge the 2006 constitutional amendment that essentially bans gay marriage in Wisconsin. Mary Burke, of course, supports that lawsuit and hopes it gets overturned. I said this could be a dicey issue for Scott Walker. Here, according to the Journal Sentinel, is how he responded. We take an oath to uphold the Constitution, and as long as that's part of our Constitution, we're obligated to uphold it, Walker said. If that were to change, certainly we'd look at it differently. Walker signaled he didn't think voters would change that provision in the state Constitution anytime soon. I haven't heard significant movement across the state to make an alteration on that one way or the other, Walker said. Nearly 60% of voters approved adding the ban to the state Constitution in 2006. A poll last October by the Marquette University Law School showed 53% of voters now support allowing same-sex marriage. Here is what I believe. I believe Scott Walker is going to have to sharpen what his specific opinion is on this, because at some point he's going to have to say he supports the constitutional ban or he opposes it. I think that this is a weakness that Mary Burke and Democrats can exploit if he hedges on this. Because it will just make everybody wonder, what is Scott Walker's position today on gay marriage? Does he support it? Does he oppose it? And I don't think the words I see here are going to fly in a campaign. And I'm going to be perfectly honest, and I shouldn't even say this out loud. Jason says, then don't. If it's something that's going to help Democrats, don't say it. It's okay. They don't listen to me anyway. Well, they listen, but they don't take me seriously. They just think I'm a nut. That's what they do with conservative talk radio. I think they're making a mistake. I think he's more vulnerable on the gay marriage thing if he's not declarative on how he feels on it than he is the minimum wage. On the other hand, the minimum wage is very popular, and I can see raising it to 10-10. A lot of people just don't understand, well, why you can't just snap here. Snap your fingers and do that. But it appears that this is what she has staked out, that they think the minimum wage is a winning issue for Mary Burke and the Democrats. There are a lot of small businesses who would be absolutely terrified at that prospect, even over a two-year period. If they are mandated to pay 10-10 an hour, it is going to hurt their business. All right. I've got all sorts of stuff I'm going to try to plow through in the next half hour, including, and I'll take this up with McFeely when we talk to him tomorrow. Democrats are trying to put a positive spin on what Obamacare is going to do to employment. This is, even for them, it's amazing. It's 10:30.
Join the Jerry Bader Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybadershow.com.